Good morning. Had several of you greet me this morning at the door by saying, "Oh, it's Thursday." I'm glad I can be at least of that much assistance. Well, I'm delighted to be here once again and to once again introduce to you another AFCO student. I'm not going to tell you too much about her because that's what she's going to be doing over the next 20 minutes or so. So I'm just going to invite Irene Terrigan to come up. Irene?
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Irene, as Eric has mentioned. I am from Indonesia. How many of you been to Indonesia? One. Okay. That's comforting. Okay. We're the fourth largest population after the United States. We have about 245 million people. And we have over 17,000 islands. Yes. That is when low tide. And the most beautiful island and well-known in the world is called Bali. Have you heard of Bali? Yeah. God, Lord willing, I want to move there. It's paradise. I don't know how much beautiful it is compared to Hawaii, but it is very beautiful. And interestingly enough, Jakarta, that's the city where I'm from, we have about 29.7 million people in there. Yeah, it's very crowded over there. So that's why I want to move to Bali. You know, interesting, the last time I was here, I was sitting at the very back there, and I was in 2008. Never thought I'd be the one standing up here speaking morning devotion to all of you. And now here I am. And so before I share what I'm about to share, my testimony, I'd like to invite all of us for a prayer. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for life. We thank you, Lord, that you have seen fit that we are given one more day to live. Father, you know each and every one of us. You know our struggles, O Lord. And Lord, we come before your holy throne and we need you to fill our hearts, O Lord. Be with me. Speak through me. Let your love shine out of me, O Lord. And let people see what you have done for me. Let me not glorify in myself, but in you. Thank you, Lord, for listening and for answering our prayers. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The text I'd like to share is from Revelation 3, verse 14 and 16. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 and 16. I'm trying to put this away. Okay. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I know many of us heard this text many times, and we're like, yeah, we're Laodiceans, we're lukewarm. But this verse kind of confused me in the beginning, because my understanding of cold is that you're in the world. So my first question that came out of my mind is like, why would God want people to be in the world if that's what it meant to be cold? Until a friend of mine said something interesting about cold. It says cold is not cold. It's actually the absence of heat. So when there is a temperature, the definition of cold is lack of certain degrees of heat. So we cannot measure in physics coldness. We measure the lack of heat. That's why we have the degrees of Fahrenheit, degrees in Celsius. And then the interesting thing in the science world is that people or things are drawn to heat. For example, if you were to take a cold item and you put it on your skin, the first thing the blood does is it withdraws away from the cold item. But if you put something hot on the skin, immediately the blood rushes to it. So in nature, we are drawn to heat. So now that makes sense in some ways, that to apply it in the spiritual world is that when we are cold, there will be a need a need for heat. That because if we are cold, then we feel the lack of heat compared to when we're lukewarm. Because in lukewarm, you don't feel the cold, you don't feel the heat. And I think that's the reason why I believe the Lord wants us to be hot or cold. Because if we are hot, then we're on fire for Him. But when we are cold, it's easier for Him to put that need in our hearts. I did not grow up in, you could say, a fully Adventist environment, because my mom converted when we were very young. I think I was probably a year old or two. And so my father was not converted. He was a Protestant, but he also did not believe fully in the Bible. One time he and I argued that Noah's Ark did not happen. I think I was about 8 years old when that happened. And so he would argue with me back and forth about the Bible. And my dad loved me. It's just that he could not accept certain Adventist beliefs. For example, he did not believe in the Sabbath. He says, the Muslims have their Fridays, the Sunday keepers have their Sundays, the Seventh-day Adventists have their Saturdays. Who are you to say you're right? And then he would say, give me a Bible text that says Saturday is the seventh day. I wanted to see that with Saturday. It was very hard to convert him. And so one of the things my dad did was also he did not like the health message. And so my mom, still being weak in the faith, couldn't say no. She was very loving and submissive towards him. So one day he would bring home pork, not knowing it was pork. He says, hey, that's chicken. Come eat it. So guess what? We ate it. So I knew the taste of pork, even I was an Adventist, in the sense, growing up Adventist environment. But having that conflict also placed me in a lukewarm state. And I was taught by my parents that the way of success is to be somebody in the world. So growing up, the first thing I wanted to do was be somebody. I remember in school, I was very good in English. I loved to write and I loved to debate, because there was debate classes here and there. And so my teacher said, hey, why don't you become a lawyer? And I thought for a moment, hey, that's good. That's somebody. That means I make money. And so I was like, yeah, I'll think about that. And then a door opened that we as a family could move to the U.S. So we moved to Bloomington, Indiana. Hoosier town. And basketball was everywhere and everything. And I was I then found interest in the sciences, in chemistry and in physics. I excelled in it. And then my teacher said, Irene, you have the gift. Why don't you become an engineer? And I thought about it. Yeah, that's okay. Engineers make money. So I applied to go to the University of Michigan, and I got in. And I was trained as an engineer. And I got my degree, went back home. And within 5 years, I reached the top of my field. I was in Indonesia, we call it the agriculture industry. Cooking oil is one of the resources of Indonesia, where we produce the lowest cost cooking oil in the world. And so this field was mostly, in fact, 100% men. I guess I was the only woman there. And at the age of, in my middle 20s, I was really at the top of my field. I was given a car, I was given a house, I was given a good, good salary. But I wasn't with the Lord. I mean, I was going to church now and then. I didn't see how the Lord related to my life. He wasn't real to me. And one day, for some reason, I woke up and I looked at my life. I said, okay, here I am at a position where everybody would die for, holding in a position of a director, having good salary, having car. I don't have to pay for my car. I didn't have to pay for my house, nothing. So the salary was all for me. I was taken care of. I had everything. And then I said, is this it, Lord? I remember it said, is this it to my life? Is there more to this, Lord? If this is it, then you have to help me find joy, because there is no joy in this thing, what I do. And then unbeknownst to me, he had already planned something ahead. I had friends from here in Southern California, to a couple, husband and wife, who had great careers in Southern California. One was an accountant doing well. Another was a head nurse in a hospital. And at that point, when I asked that question, they had left their life in Southern California to become full-time medical missionaries. And they called me up, hey, Irene, we want to do a mission trip to Indonesia. It's like, great, what do you want me to do? Just coordinate it. So I was coordinating it, being the liaison between them and the church in Indonesia. And then they finally came. And we went to a village where they ministered. And I looked at them, I observed them, how much joy they had. They were just... I remember the life they had when I was visiting here in California. My friend Alain was golfing, enjoying his golf. Irene was... his wife's name, Irene, was also enjoying her life. Everyone seemed to have everything like I had. But now when I looked at them, there was joy. I was like, that is what I want. And that was the very thing the Lord put in my heart when I saw that. And they were ministering to those in the villages using simple natural remedies. And that was the voice I heard. This is what you can be if you want it. And so when I look back, the how many years that I had been Adventist, meaning growing, to that point, that lukewarmness state, it took that long for the Lord to bring me out of that lukewarmness state. And that's why I believe that he does not want us to be in that lukewarmness state, because it's harder for him to get us out of that. Because when we are cold, we will feel our need of him. That is why even the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we do not recognize our need, it's harder for him to work in our hearts. That's why the absence of heat is what drives us to Jesus. I pray that you'll be blessed by what I just shared. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are not willing for any of us to perish, O God, and you will do everything you can to bring us back to you. Father God, please help us to always feel our need of you today, O Lord, every moment, O Lord, because without you, life means nothing, O God. Continue to help us feel our need of you, and may we continue to be humble before your sight, O Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.